Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In South Africa, that's why we, or certainly I do, rely on a true caller to flag these calls. But recent reports have suggested that the app may be skating on very thin ice when it comes to privacy laws. Complaints have been filed alleging that a true caller collects non-user phone numbers without consent and even charges businesses to delist their numbers from spam labels. Today, we are joined by Mor Berger-Smith, a regulatory lawyer specializing in competition, data privacy and cyber security. A very good morning to you. Great to chat to you. We haven't spoken for some time. Can we just talk about the fact that Papier requires responsible handling of personal information? If Truecaller does collect numbers to which people didn't consent, can they be considered in breach?
Morning and welcome, and thank you for having me and your listeners listening to this show, because yes, it is such a controversial topic and especially over the last few weeks. There are so many complicated aspects to this debate that one can't really just have a narrow focus on the topics. But if we try to break it down, in the first instance, yes, there are now strict rules from a Papier perspective when it comes to direct marketing. And those fall broadly into two categories. Am I a customer, or are you calling me in terms of reaching out to me? And where consent fits into that whole debate. And I do believe that the first instance where everyone focuses on consent is actually not the correct approach. But to justify where we are from the regulator's perspective, they have issued guidelines, they've put in place certain rules, and now it has to filter through to the economy and the business sector. Mm. At the same time, we've got consumers, like all the Truecallers, people that have signed up for the Truecaller app, absolutely hating, and I think everyone hates an unnecessary spam call that they receive in the middle of the day. And how do we balance this together with a company trying to legitimately reach their customers? So, you know, there are a hybrid of issues to consider. And not to forget, on top of all of this, we sit with a very old piece of consumer protection legislation that provided that a no-caller list should be established. That no-caller list should enable you and me and all the listeners to register our number to say, do not spam call me. However, what we've seen this year is that for the first time, the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition has now commenced to establish such a list. So that's why I say they are a hybrid of very complex things to think about.
And in terms of Truecaller itself, I mean, they're running a business that obviously proves that there's a real demand for something like this. Is it even possible for them to do so and stay on the right side of these regulations?
So, you know, I can't speak on behalf of Truecaller. I can only speak about what the law says. Mm. And if we think about what, from a data privacy perspective, there are clear rights for a data afforded to a data subject, and a data subject is an individual as well as a company. So, from a company's perspective, they afforded the right in terms of the privacy legislation to contact an entity such as Truecaller.
Right.
To contact Truecaller and say, "Stop blocking my number as spam. This is a legitimate number. I'm trying to reach out to a customer." You know, in the instance of the person that won the 124 million in the lotto,
right,
she didn't take the call because she kept on thinking it is spam. Meanwhile, her bank was trying to contact her. That bank's got the right to contact Truecaller to say, "Stop blocking my number, correct your system."
Right.
This is one little thing that ought to be corrected, and that right ought to be afforded to all businesses without paying any fee to legitimize their number on a system like Truecaller.
100%. Yeah, that really does add. I think that's probably the element that adds something a little bit suspect around it, is for people to have to pay to have their number delisted as a spam number on Truecaller. That really, that doesn't make sense. That said, has Popia, in your view, helped to protect people from all of this?
So there is another debate, and you know, I've been writing about this since 2021 on Truecaller and all the other issues around this. So right. If we look at, you know, Popia and the effect of Popia, there is a debate as to whether a telephone call as such is caught by the Popia legislation. The regulator, in their guideline that they issued, came out very strongly saying, yes, their definition includes a telephone call. And they base it on the fact, on, for instance, a WhatsApp call. We're making a data call. Data calls happen in little bundles. That's a VoIP call. Right. Yes, that is data and that falls within the definition. However, a normal telephone call does not, over a network, run in little bits. It's a continuous line of communication. And therein lies the difference. So my view is a normal telephone call does not fall within that definition. So you will note a number of spam calls that you receive, they don't, it's a normal call that you receive. And the solution, or the final solution in all of this, lies in that definition and the Popia legislation, should it not be amended. My view is it ought to be amended. It is definitely not clear. And that creates, then, can we say, the little loophole, or the little gate that I can walk through to actually spam you and call you. And yes, people are complaining about telephone calls. And one would assume from those that are trying to spam, they are going to now make use of telephone calls instead of making use of SMSs or any other means, because they also see that gate and think they can walk through the gate.
Yeah. And that is the issue. Do you think that everyday users should be changing their Truecaller habits? Like, for example, avoid uploading your whole contact list, because, I mean, that then becomes part of the Truecaller database.
Yeah, they Truecaller might use of a crowd to actually collect the telephone numbers on their database. Now, I just wanted for the listeners to clarify this. If I sign up on Truecaller on my normal mobile, that upload, allegedly, according to Truecaller, doesn't happen. However, if you sign up from the web, it gives you the option to upload all the contact numbers. So, for instance, let's use me as an example. I'm not on Truecaller. I've never signed up for the app. But I promise you my bottom dollar that I am, my number is in the Truecaller database. There's a number of people, and most people I know, have got Truecaller, and they absolutely love Truecaller.
Yeah.
They support Truecaller. You know, I've had people over the last couple of weeks responding in a very angry manner because I tried to dare to criticize Truecaller.
Don't touch me on my Truecaller, yeah.
And all I'm saying is, it's a wonderful service. No one wants to
of
be
course.
Spammed now, ever
right.
do it in the right way.
Absolutely. Okay, so final message. If there's one message that our listeners need to could take away and should take away about this whole area, and I know it's quite hard to just think of one message, but that people need to know, what is it?
I would think that you need to be vigilant when it comes to spam calls. Block that number when you receive it on your mobile, and you're going to do it 100 times to do it. But realize we need, if in this debate, we need to be balanced. It is not pro or Truecaller or absolutely against Truecaller. Let's find the right way forward.
That is where we leave it. Thank you for bringing some perspective there. Achmor Berger-Smith, a competition lawyer, data privacy and regulatory lawyer.